Well, good morning. As we continue in our study of the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, this is a long weekend, and it's a long weekend because of Women's Day. And so I'm going to be spending some time just looking at the women of faith in chapter 11. Let's have a word of prayer. As we, Lord, just reflect on the role of women in such a significant way in the chapter 11 of Hebrews, Lord, we just pray that you would just speak into our hearts and challenge our own thoughts about the role of women in faith. We just commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, in our study we began 2 weeks ago, we asked a vital question. We try to answer this vital question: what kind of faith does God accept? And we saw in chapter 11, the writer of the book of Hebrews has given us a number of different examples of why faith is necessary to please God and what this faith looks like. I suggested 2 weeks ago that the kind of faith that God accepts is faith in the superiority of Jesus. And so I gave my title to the sermon 2 weeks ago, Why Faith in the Superiority of Jesus is Commended, and we're going to look at the second part of that. And I suggested 2 weeks ago that before we can understand why faith in the superiority of Jesus is commended, we need to describe what faith in the superiority of Jesus looks like. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at three examples in chapter 11, and they were Abel. We saw Abel had a sacrifice-defining faith. We saw Enoch had an obedience-defining faith. And we saw Noah had a prophetic-defining faith. All of them pointed to Jesus in one way or another. Today, I want to continue looking at the examples we find in chapter 11. And because this day is the day before Women's Day, I want to look at the women listed amongst the heroes of faith. Some of them are mentioned by name, others just by association. So if we were going to give the title of a message for today, it's Examples of Women Whose Faith Was in the Superiority of Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 11, but I'm going to not read all of it. I'm going to read just the verses relating to the woman in this chapter. Verse 11, it was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child, even though they were too old and Sarah was barren. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man. Well, we know it actually came from the woman too. Abraham was too old to have children. A nation with so many people, like the stars of the sky and the sand on the sea, there was no way to count them. Then verse 23, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. Well, Moses' parents was actually Moses' mother. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were afraid of what the king might do. It was by faith that Moses grew up. When he grew up, he refused to be treated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he was treated as the son of Jochebed. Verse 31. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, did not die with the others in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Verse 32. Well, how much more do we need to say? It would take long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Then verse 35, women received their loved ones back again from death. But others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be freed. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Well, there are four groups of women I want to look at today. So don't forget, we're looking to describe what faith in the superiority of Jesus looks like. And we're looking at how the woman does find that for us. So first of all, Sarah. Sarah had a miracle-defining faith. Verse 11 said it was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child. Even though they were too old and Sarah was barren, Abraham believed God that would keep his promise, and so the whole nation came from this one man or woman. Abraham, who was too old to have any children, wasn't able to have children, it was Sarah. A nation with so many people, like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, there's no way to count them. So why is Sarah's faith such a miracle-defining faith? First of all, the birth of Isaac foreshadows the miraculous birth of Jesus, friends. The story of the birth of Isaac is recorded in Genesis 18, and there are a number of parallels between the two events. Firstly, both births were announced supernaturally. The birth of Isaac was announced by Jesus himself, who came to earth as the angel of the Lord. And then, of course, the birth of Jesus was announced by Gabriel. Number two, the announcement was made to both parents. Abraham and Sarah were together, while Mary and Joseph were apart, and they got the announcement at a different time. In both cases, one of the parents did not initially believe what was said. Well, Sarah was that one initially, but later she believed. Joseph was the other one in that case. And in both cases, friends, the pregnancy was a miracle. We must understand that for Sarah, friends, the miracle was a fertile egg from a barren body. Where did that egg come from? Her body had long since ceased to work. Menopause had long since happened for Sarah, yet she had a child. For Mary, the miracle was a fertilized egg from a pure body. It had been undefiled. Of course, we know it in Christian terminology as the virgin birth. Friends, the birth of Isaac foreshadows the miraculous birth of Jesus. Not only that, the birth of Isaac foreshadows the sacrifice of Jesus. Friends, both Isaac and Jesus would be the symbol of ultimate sacrifice. You see, Isaac would be substituted by a ram, but Jesus, friends, would be the substitute. See, Sarah, friends, believed that what God would do was a miracle thing. Thirdly, both Sarah and Mary hold a special place in history. Sarah went from Sarai, which simply means my princess. See, that's what Abraham would have called her, Sarai. To Sarah, the princess. You see, she was no longer just the wife of Abraham. She had become the mother of all those who live by faith. If Abraham was the father, Sarah was the mother. Mary also, friends, has a special place. Mary went from being an innocent betrothed girl to one described in Luke chapter 1, verse 48, as, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant," Mary said, "from now on all generations will call me blessed." Now, I'm not suggesting that Mary continues to hold some special power or ability, other than she was the earthly mother of Jesus, friends. They both have a special place in the history of faith. Sarah had a miracle-defining faith, just like the virgin birth, friends, was a miraculous event. Secondly, Jochebed. Jochebed had a protecting, defining faith. It says it was by faith that Moses hid him from the 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid of what the king might do. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, in both cases, friends, both the parents of Moses and Jesus protected their child in Egypt. Amram, the father, and Jochebed, the mother of Moses, may have lived in Jesus, but Joseph and Mary fled. Lived in Egypt, I should say, but Moses and Mary fled to Egypt. Friends, they were concerned about their child. They wanted to protect him in every sort of way. Friends, what an incredible picture. Both the parents of Moses and Jesus recognized their child was unusual. Listen to what it says in verse 23. It was by faith that Moses hid him for 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child. Friends, you see, they recognized in Moses somebody who had the hand of God on him. Well, Mary had seen that in Jesus' life too. And so the very first miracle of Jesus, it says this, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They've got no more wine." "Dear woman," he says, "why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." Friends, Mary knew that Jesus was unusual, just like Jochebed had. Thirdly, both the parents of Moses and Jesus would see other children die and theirs be saved while they were still children. You see, the sons of Israelite slaves would be murdered. It was the reason why Jochebed sought to protect Moses. But Jesus was no different. We read in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. Friends, Jochebed had a protecting, defining faith. She wanted to ensure that Moses could do the work that he was called to do, just like Mary, friends. Mary's heart went out to Jesus on more than one occasion to protect him. Next woman is Rahab, number 6. Rahab, friends, had a trust-defining faith. Verse 31 says, it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute did not die with all the others in the city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Well, it wasn't only that, friends. You see, Rahab trusted in the God of the Israelites. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "I know," Rahab said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Shion and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed." Friends, Rahab had a trust-defining faith. She moved her trust from the gods around her into the living God. What a wonderful picture there is of a trust-defining faith. But what did Rahab trust in, friends? Rahab trusted in the covering of the blood. You see, in the same way the Israelites were protected during the last plague of Egypt by painting blood on their door frames and remaining inside their houses as the angel of death crossed over there, Rahab and her family were also protected. Listen to what it says in Joshua chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. It says this: the men said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied a scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house." You see, Rahab's friends wasn't just in anything. It was in the blood, the scarlet cord. She was under the covering of the blood, friends, and Rahab displays a trust-defining faith. She trusted in the God of the Israelites, and she trusted in the covering of blood. And then finally, we learn about a group of women who had resurrection-defining faith. In verse 32, the writer of the Hebrews kind of reminds us of all the other kinds of people who were displayed faith. But in verse 35, it says, "Women received their loved one back again from their faith, but others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life." Friends, as we look at the story, we discover that women have a pivotal role to play in the resurrection story. Let me just give you some examples. First of all, a woman called Mary anointed Jesus in preparation for his death. While the disciples were still fighting about whether Jesus should die, it was a woman who recognized that Jesus, where he was going. In John chapter 12, the first 7 verses, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Yeah, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among them, reclining at the table with them. Then Mary took about 0.5 liter of nard, an expensive perfume, poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped her feet with her hair, and the house filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later betrayed him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money he had, he used to help himself and to what was put in. Then Jesus says this in verse 7, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. It was intended that she save this perfume for the day of my burial. Friends, when the men around there couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about, it took a woman to prepare Jesus for his death and resurrection. Women were also, friends, at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. Yes, we know John was there. But friends, it was primarily women. Listen to what it says in Matthew 27. "When the centurion and those who were with him were guiding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely this was the Son of God.'" And then verse 55 says this: "Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee's sons." Friends, it wasn't the men. It was the women were there. Oh, John was there, yes, we know. But it says many women were there. Friends, these women had a resurrection-defining faith. But they weren't only preparing him for his death. Not only were they there at his crucifixion, they were there when he was buried. Matthew 27, verse 60, where it talks about the burial of Jesus, it says, Joseph placed it in his own tomb that had been cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance and went away. Verse 61, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Where were the men? Friends, says nothing about the men being there. It was the women who were there. The women helping Joseph to put Jesus into the tomb. But friends, vitally, women were there when Jesus arose. Verse 28, Matthew 28, verses 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled the tomb, rolled back the stone. His appearance was like lightning. Friends, they are told, he has risen from the dead, and go ahead to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. Friends, women were there when Jesus arose. But the most significant things about, friends, the fact that women had resurrection-defining faith was that a woman was the first to see the resurrected Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 9 and 10 says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, who were weeping and mourning. Friend, these women had resurrection-defining faith. So far in our journey to discover why faith in the superiority of Jesus is commended, we've tried to describe what faith in the superiority of Jesus looks like. 2 weeks ago, we saw that the faith of Abel was a sacrificing, defining faith. The faith of Enoch was obedience, defining faith. The faith of Noah was a prophetic, defining faith. But friends, the faith of woman, the faith of woman is equally important. It says the faith of Sarah was a miracle-defining faith. The faith of Jochebed was a protecting-defining faith. The faith of Rahab was a trust-defining faith. The faith of a group of women had a resurrection-defining faith. Friend, the church has in general, for a long time, devalued the faith of women. It's time we changed, friends. Women form the backbone of most of our churches. Women are those that to a large degree do the work in the church. Women are those that teach the future generations the basics of the faith. Women form the majority of those on the mission fields of our world. Women, friend, most often set the spiritual tone in our homes. Oh, friends, may we value women, women of faith. For with them, friends, God can move mountains. He has, and he will continue to do. As men fail, women will fill the gap. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the women who have stood up for you. I thank you for the women of faith. Each of these that we've looked at, Lord. Women who have shown us what it truly is. Women who have displayed the same kind of faith that you displayed. Help us to appreciate, Lord, all that they do, all that they are. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Lord bless you as we go through the rest of this weekend. Enjoy your day off tomorrow. Amen.